Let us read our scripture tonight in 1 John, Epistle of 1 John in chapter 5. As you're turning toward it and as we read it, I trust you may remember the text or the subject, Christianity, a lesson or a life. We'll read the first 10 verses. We could read the whole chapter, but we'll read 10 verses of 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begeth, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of the Son. May the Lord bless to our hearts this portion of his wonderful word. Tonight I wish to speak on the subject, Christianity, a lesson or a life. In Bible conferences for a number of years when they were so popular, I suppose that I quoted at the foot of the platform and after meetings more often than any other statement I ever made in Bible conference, this statement, that Christianity is not learning lessons from the life of Jesus, but Christianity is receiving life from the death of Jesus. More people have asked me to repeat that for their notebook, I suppose, than any single statement. But any statement I make is not near as important as what the Word of God has to say. But if you will remember that thesis, it embraces all I will say tonight. That Bible Christianity is not learning lessons from the life of Jesus, but rather it is receiving life from the death of Jesus. Let us first of all think of the religions of the world. And they are teachments. For example, Buddha, Buddhism. When you think of Zoroaster in Western Asia, Zoroastrianism, Japan, Shintoism, Mohammedanism, they all had a teacher, every one of them. When the teacher died, the religion went on as well or better without them, though their bodies are smoldering in the grave. The difference between that and Christianity is that Jesus was a teacher. Yes, as we've said recently in another connection, he taught by example, personally. He taught artistically by the parable. He also taught scientifically by the proposition, for example, the Beatitudes in the 5th chapter of Matthew. But Jesus was not a teacher only, he was a savior. The second contrast is, these teachers of the world religions are all dead. And their followers accept them as dead. And many of them go to their shrines to worship them. But Jesus Christ is alive. And then another contrast is this. That Jesus had the peculiarity and the uniqueness of symbolizing and personalizing his own faith. Christianity is Christ. As one asked Sudhar Singh of India years ago, when he'd given up his Indian faith, they said, for Christianity, what have you found, he said, in Christianity that's better than our religion of India? He said, I have found Christ. He said, Christianity is Christ. This is unique. It's different from the other religions. Then the last contrast is this. One day, all of these leaders of religion will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as the judge. As Paul said there on Mars Hill, God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, notice in the second place, the warning. I want to bring a warning. That first is positive. Now, second, let us think, we'll wait for a moment, of the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth. William Booth, 36 years, he preached in East End of London as an open-air preacher with garbage spattered upon his garments as he delivered his soul many times in discouragement. And when sometimes it would be the darkest and he'd be most discouraged, he would start singing, Depth of Mercy, Can There Be Mercy Still Reserved for Me? Can my God his wrath forbear and me the chief of sinners spare? Oh, what a voice, what a clarion voice he was in the East End of London. We could, as words come to me from Wesley and others, I'll not mention it, but I want to give you the warning that this man William Booth gave. He said, I fear, he felt it in his day, I fear the time will come, he said, when there will be a teaching of Christianity without the Holy Spirit. Oh, God help us. If he left us here tonight, we'd as well have the benediction. We're living in dark days. No other power can possibly break down the prejudices and break down the battlements and the strong towers of Satan in this day. He said there would be a preaching of Christianity without the Holy Spirit. He said there would be a preaching of Christianity without Christ. And he said of forgiveness without repentance. And he said of salvation without regeneration. And a preaching of heaven without hell. Oh, how true that all comes. You remember it was Paul who said in his Galatian epistle in the first chapter of that correspondence. He said there in the 12th verse, he said, I certify unto you the gospel which I preach unto you is not of men. He said, I received it not of men, neither was I taught it. And when he faced the most intellectual peoples the gospel has ever been confronted by, the Greek culture and civilization with its centuries of philosophy and learning and education, he said, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, beloved, nothing else will answer, nothing else will satisfy. And when we face it tonight, we have to say, one, Christianity is a new life, a new nature, and a new fellowship. We quit reading in the 10th verse of that chapter 5 of 1 John, but we could have gone on to the 11th, which spells out, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you have the Son tonight? Is he dwelling in your heart? Are you indwelt by him? We find the same thought with Paul. He said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now may I treat that for a moment? We find back in March in 61 in the National Association of the Sunday School, in their link paper that they put out, they defined truth this way. They said education isn't worthy of the name Christian unless they include all revealed and natural truth. Revealed truth is in the Word of God. That's here. Natural truth is in the Bible. Now let us go further. That's for truth. Now what did they say the definition of Christian education was? You might be shocked. But don't be shocked. The National Sunday School Association has to provide a common denominator wide and broad enough to include those who believe that the sacraments save people, and that I could do something religious to a child and cause it to be saved. So don't be shocked by this. What do they define Christian education? They say that it's that transforming experience of truth that comes by nurture of the individual. The transforming experience by nurture of the individual. I might have some little germ here. If I nurture it, nurture means some modification of genetic potentialities. And the genetic potentialities of your nature, if you're not born again, is corrupt. And it can't be nurtured into anything except a child of the devil. It can never be nurtured into a child of God. That nature is absolutely and completely and 100%. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He's saying that that nature is always there. You have, if you're a Christian and born again, you are tonight possessed by the Spirit of God. But you also have a carnal nature. And that carnal nature can never be nurtured into the kingdom of God. Never will be. Now we thought of truth. Now we thought of Christian education. Now let us go back. What does God say about this? We're talking about sowing seed. And in the Old Testament, it was against the Mosaic law to sow revealed truth and natural truth. They didn't allow the sowing of revealed truth and natural truth. Why? Tonight, let me use an illustration. That was what they call mixed seed. Let me use an illustration. Supposing tonight that I would bring some very intellectual arguments. For example, the psychological changes that come when you're born again. And one has written, a Russian has written up this, and tried to explain by psychology how one is saved by natural psychological forces. Suppose and I should labor the point and try and deliver you all of his arguments, all of which have an answer, of course. But on the basis of science, then I'm sowing natural seed. And then I come by, when I get that sowed and I get that down, then I come and say, all of this being said, you've got to repent of your sins and be born again by the Spirit of God, or you'll go to hell for sure. You know what you'll do if you're an unsaved sinner here? And if you're like Jesus said, you remember, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, not through natural truth discovered in science. Natural truth, no. Light has come into the world, and sinners love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if you have pet sins in your life, you'll accept the natural seed and reject, always reject, the revealed seed, which is the Word of God, because it has a sting in it. It has in it what we call, and they take out of the gospel, the offense nowadays, as I've been laboring that in other messages lately. They can take the offense out of the gospel by mixing enough scientific and natural truth with it to sugarcoat it over and let people consequently think they're Christians because, as I said this morning in the Sunday school lesson, they may have some of the characteristics of a Christian, having learned a few lessons from the life of Jesus. They may have received sacramental salvation by being baptized or confirmed, or they may be a member of some Christian church. But none of these make them Christians. None of them. Because God's word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say by natural truth and revealed truth. It's one truth. Now, may I quickly pass to the second point, the new nature. And on the new nature, we go back, some of you, I know we have some from the congregational background and tradition. And years ago, Henry Ward Beecher was quite a focal point of discussion. Back in the years, some over 100 years ago, the Congregational Church had a split because some believed in the deity of Christ and some didn't. And the Unitarian Church went off, and now they've joined the Universalist Church. It's interesting to note, however, that that split started with about 90,000 of people. And after 100 years, it was just a little bigger in 100 years than it was when it started. Why? Because by a process of nurture, you cannot transform. Follow me? By a process of nurture, you cannot transform human nature. Human nature will always be human nature. And human nature has to repent of its sin. The moral man doesn't receive a new nature from Christ. Now let us take Henry Ward Beecher. He was before a large company of his congregational people. And in a sense, he was what we'd say in these days on the pan. And they said, now, Dr. Beecher, do you believe that everybody, in the necessity of everybody, being regenerated by the Holy Spirit? He says, absolutely, unquestionably, I do. Fine, that sounded orthodox. Question number two. They said, now, Dr. Beecher, do you believe that everybody has to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit because of sins he has committed or because of his depraved nature? He said, that's a two-pronged question. Adroitly, he answered without answering either one. He said, I believe man has to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit because he is an animal. What does that mean? He was fond of riding horses. He had some in the stable when he made that statement. He never tried to get one of his riding horses, which was an excellent animal, regenerated. Why? Because he was either purposely or self-deceived in telling only a half-truth. The truth is, you have to be regenerated because of your own sins and because you have a depraved nature and because Adam's sin lives on in every one of us. And we are children of Adam as well as children of the earth and children of dust called animal. Beloved, let us face the truth. We come a little closer to it and we turn to the, say, the Christian Herald, where Dr. Poling was answering questions. One wrote in. Before Dr. Poling died, his son is now the editor. They wrote in and they said, Gandhi, this was when Gandhi lived, before he died on that funeral pyre, before he was assassinated and died on the funeral, and then later was consumed on a funeral pyre. He said, Mahatma Gandhi said, I'm a follower of Jesus. Does this mean that he gave up his Hindu faith? And Dr. Dan Poling wrote back, he said, no, he says, Mahatma Gandhi did not give up his Hindu faith. He said, he spoke in one of our large Christian institutions not long ago. And in that audience, he told this audience, he says, you prefer Christ worship, comma, but I prefer cow worship, period. And Dr. Poling went on to say that the picture of Jesus was the only picture that adorned the walls of Gandhi's room. He went on to say that Gandhi considered Jesus the greatest religious prophet and leader, perhaps of all times, but he still had not repented of his sins, come to Jesus as a lost sinner, accepted him as his son, as his substitute sin bearer on the cross, and accepted him as personal savior into his heart and surrendered to him as life, and tried daily to please him. He still worshiped cows, therefore he did not have a divine nature. We find in the Word of God in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye should be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption such as cow worship, which is in the world through lust. Oh, yes. Oh, beloved, if you're a Christian, one, this Life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. If you're a Christian, you have received the divine nature, and you have no alternative. You either have it or not. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit or not. And thereby you are determined on your way to hell or on your way to heaven. We do not become Christians by learning lessons from the life of Jesus. That's Christian education. We become Christians by receiving life from the death of Jesus. Now notice the last point. I say it's a new life. It is a new nature. And those two natures, the divine and human nature, resides in all of us. And will until the day we have finished our earthly journey. Now the last, a new fellowship. We read in 1 John 1:12, he said he came unto his own, and his own received him not, meaning the Jews, Judaism. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of flesh. That's the carnal nature. Nor of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born again establishes a new nature, a new life, a new relationship. Now, may we go back. We find, for example, those old world religions we began with, they all believe in a higher power. But when Nicodemus met Jesus, Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." There is a power that's got to sweep through you, Nicodemus. Where it listeth, he said, there is a freedom about that spirit as it moves, and a freedom about you in responding to it. You can say yes or no. And he said, thou hearest the sound thereof. He said, there's a message that you can hear and understand. But thou knowest not from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Nicodemus, he said, there's a mystery about it. You've come to me saying, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Jesus saith unto him, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yeah, the old world religions are seeking a higher power. But when we're born again, we have that higher power is fellowship with a personal God. That's different. Yea, like Abraham in Genesis 15. After these things, the Lord spake unto Abram and said, Abram, he said, Abram, he spoke to him personally. And then three things followed. One, two, three. We've had a series of messages on them. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He is the God of the multitude, the God, the Lord God of hosts. But he's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's the God of John, Mary. He's the God of George. He's the God of everybody in this room when they've been born again. That relationship makes him you in fellowship with a personal God. But also a higher truth. What is that? That higher truth that the old world religions are always seeking, a higher truth. What is it? That higher truth is that by faith in Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. Not by creation, but by recreation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. King James says a new creature in the margin. A new creation. A new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. You can reform and do that. But all things have become new. That's recreation. That is a new creature, a new recreation. But go further. The old world religions all believe in the helplessness of man. They hang helpless on the mercy of God. Death of mercy, can it be mercy still reserved for me? Can it be my God forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. My William Booth, if he doesn't make it, I'm sure none of us will. And yet this song tore his heart when he found opposition to the gospel. Yea, but the old world religions never get the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And he gives us one The higher power is fellowship with him. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. The joys we share. As we tarry there, none other has ever known. And then that new relationship. We call him Father. We had a series of sermons on the... He said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A child coming to his father, a worshiper coming to his God. In 63 words, we have what you can breathe to God in a prayer in 1 minute. And no human mind could any more have composed it than human hands could have ridged up the Rocky Mountains or set the stars in the brow of yonder sky. You're a child of God. You're his son and child. You can call him Father. And then he said, if any man, he said, come unto me. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest, rest from your sins. May I close with a word? Perhaps it isn't wise to close with a word from the poet, but I've often thought of these words as comprising a free translation of some verses in John 3. Saul Cain in Everlasting Mercy by John Masefield, poet laureate at one time of England. He said, and this has so much truth in it, he said, I did not strive. He's describing being born again. I did not strive. The deep peace burn my me alive. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. We have, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The deep peace burned my me alive. I knew that I was done with sin. That's repentance. I knew that Christ had now come through the broken door. The broken door. He said, let's begin at the first. In everlasting mercy, I did not think, I did not strive. The deep peace burned me alive. I knew that I was done with sin. I knew that Christ had given me birth from every soul on earth, and every bird and every beast should share the crumb broke at the feast. If we are born again, we have a new life in Christ Jesus. We have, in the second place, a new nature that the Holy Spirit implants in us. And in the third place, we have a new fellowship with him, because we have fellowship with a personal God who becomes our heavenly Father. And through Christ, we have forgiveness of sin. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing on the Word of God. And we can say, I did not think, I did not strive. The deep peace burned me alive. I knew that I was done with sin. The bolted door had broken in. I knew that Christ had given me birth. Yea, and that every bird and every beast should share the crumb broke at the feast. We ask tonight that Holy Spirit do his office work as we pray and trust thee in Jesus' name. Amen.